Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on in our series, The Believer's Authority, part number 5. And I think this will be our last one on this series, and we'll begin another topic here soon after this. And but we want to kind of reiterate and wrap up some of the things that we've talked about in the previous parts of this series, and maybe, you know, kind of ask some questions to get people's mind thinking, you know, get their brain gears turning, you know, because sometimes that helps people to kind of relate, or you might put some practical truths into, you know, some actual real living situations. Lord, how would you apply this, you know, because you say, well, you know, yeah, the Bible says we have authority over the devil and all this kind of thing. But how do I actually apply this in my own life, you know? And that's some of the questions that my sweetheart here asked that we should do. And I do agree that we should do this. But I also want to make a, you might say, concerted effort to reinforce one of the strong things that God has put in my heart. And it's about, let's do what we can to try to get this teaching out to the nations, to the people that are in other nations that don't have the freedoms that we have. If they can come into the knowledge of the truth of who they are in Christ and the authority that they have, then they can turn the thing around for their nations, because why should the devil be in domination over them when Jesus came to pay the price for them to have the right to be free from his domination. Amen. And to exercise authority over him? So it's kind of counterproductive to say you have authority over the devil, but yet he's able to dominate your life.
That's true.
Right. So, but before we get into all that, as is my custom, I'd like to introduce my sweet, beautiful, wonderful wife, Miss Norca Karina, and let her share some things that's on her heart.
Hi, everyone. It is always, as I mentioned, a blessing and honor to be able to share the word of God. God is good. God has something prepared for you today. And every time that the Lord assigns us the responsibility, the privilege of sharing in this podcast, we also know that he has also called the listener to listen to the podcast. So we're excited. We have a great expectation. And we know that this word is not only going to entertain you, obviously not, but it is actually going to edify you and continue to help you, as it has helped us, me, grow in the truth. And when we grow in the truth, you know what happens? We just gain a new level of freedom. So let's continue to listen and remember that this word is not only to keep it in your heart, but to actually apply it in your walk with the Lord.
Amen, sweetheart. Appreciate that introduction. And yes, we want to be able to learn how to apply this. Somebody says, well, how do I apply it? How do I take authority over the devil? Well, you do it with your words. You know, as simple as that sounds, it is that simple. But it's a matter of two things: believing what we say, and also standing in a position where we have the right to say it. Because, you know, there's people who are sent out by the President of the United States to go to other nations, as they call them, ambassadors, to speak on behalf of the president. But yet they don't go there speaking their own word, their own agenda. They come in as a representative of the president, of the president's agenda, of what his goals and purposes are. And if they don't represent that, then they're probably not going to stay in that position very long.
That's right.
Right. And so in the same case here, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. What a privilege.
It absolutely is, baby. Mm-hmm. And people don't, maybe they might take this for granted oftentimes, like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I'm a follower of Christ. But yet, to be a follower, are we actually following him to do the things he needs us to do? What did he say? His disciples, before he left, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you, right? preaching repentance in his name, the remission of sins, as it says in Luke chapter 24. Let's actually look at that real quick, because we may need to, you know, quickly lay the foundation again, you know, of these things that he said to teach, and also add on to it how the authority connects with this. He says here, after he rose from the dead and appeared to them, he says here in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, he says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I still was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Okay, so he lays the foundation that the Christian faith is built upon the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died for the sins of the world, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. But he says, but I send you, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city until you're endued with power from on high. Now, somebody might say, well, what does that got to do with the necessity of having to preach the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross and repentance and remission of sins are to be preached in his name? Why do we need the power from on high? Because it's more than just preaching salvation. It's also bringing salvation.
Amen.
And salvation in terms of what? So, well, in everything. Because salvation encompasses much more than just going to heaven, being born again and going to heaven. It's also to be saved from the works of the devil. You know, somebody says, well, the works of the devil is to deceive people so they can go to hell. That's a part of it. But it's more than that. It's also to deceive them from being able to receive their healing so he can kill them and destroy them with disease. It's also keeping them deceived where they don't know they have authority to stop him and bind him from breaking and entering and stealing and robbing in their life, because Jesus said, right, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
And it wasn't simply their soul just so they can go to hell. It was everything in their life. I mean, imagine those three, you know, things, or even layers, you might say. Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, you know, it's bad enough if somebody steals from you, but then to kill and then to destroy? He's come to wreck a person's life in every way possible, right? And he's not satisfied with just stealing, you know, your joy, or stealing, breaking in your house and stealing your jewelry. He wants to destroy your life. That's what, right, Jesus said he came to do. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And there's no way that is possible by being under subjection to the devil.
No.
Because if he's not stopped, there's no way you're going to be able to have peace and joy and the abundant life. Somebody says, well, you know, we're here subject to the things of the world and all that. But yet the Bible tells us that in Matthew 28, some of the final words that Jesus also said, besides what he said here in Luke 24, he says here in Matthew 28, we'll go back to that. Because, you know, people say, well, you know, when the Bible talks about suffering and all this stuff, you know, as if it is God's will for us to be subject to the devil. And Jesus said, after he had rose from the dead and he appeared to his disciples, he said in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so he said, go make disciples. Okay, well, we can see that connection with Luke chapter 24, where he said, you know, preaching repentance and remission of sins in his name, right? That's the beginning part of making disciples. But making disciples also goes beyond that, because he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What else did he command? Many things. That's why people need to as you said, sweetheart, you know, if they don't own a Bible, they need to buy one. They need to get one. They need to acquire one.
That's right.
Because they need to get the knowledge of what the Word says, that what God has commanded, also as well as what He has taught in there that belongs to us as our rights and privileges. You know, because it says that we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places.
Amen.
And He put all things under His feet in subjection. And He put Satan, demon powers, in subjection under our feet. We've been seated in the heavenly places far above all those things.
Yes.
So they're no longer are supposed to have domination over us. And He goes on to say that He even triumphed over Him in it, you know, the cross, and made a public display of Him.
Yes.
Now, how's that going to be in application in our life if Satan is dominating us? If he's able to steal our joy, our peace, rob us, break in our house, steal our stuff, rape our wives, kill our children, do all kinds of havoc in our lives, and we're going to call that we're walking in abundance of the peace that God has given us, that we're walking in authority, because he says, teaching him to observe all things I commanded you. And what did the Bible also say about in regard to Satan? It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee.
He will flee from you. So this is a promise that if you submit therefore to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we have a hope that that will be the case, that he will have to flee, that we can live in peace. And we know this from Luke chapter 1. We've talked about this before. Because when the prophecy came forth from Zacharias, after his mouth was opened, you know, because, you know, when he was first approached by the angel that, he, you know, he was going to have a child. And he said, well, how can, you know, him and his wife is old. Well, he should have known the story of Abraham, right? Because he's a prophet of God, right? He's a priest to God, to God. And he says here in verse 68, well, let me back up to verse 67 in Luke chapter 1. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies.
Amen.
And from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. So here's an oath, a promise, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Amen.
See that? Now, of course, you know, he goes on and says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go for the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, talking about his son, John the Baptist, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So the child grew up and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Because he's talking about John the Baptist, right? His own son, right? So he is saying two things here. He's saying to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, which is what Jesus also said in Luke chapter 24, that they should preach remission and forgiveness of sins, right?
Amen, that's right.
In his name. But also he talks about divine protection. Because he said to grant them, because which the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And again, he mentions it again down here, or in the previous scripture in verse 71, says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. Now, someone might say, well, Brother Keith, he's talking about after we die and go to heaven. Well, you know what? When we get to heaven, we're not going to be facing no enemies.
No. It's all
and we're not going to have days of our lives because we're going to live eternally.
Amen.
right? He's talking about the here and now, that the horn of salvation coming, as John the Baptist will prepare his way, will be Jesus. And Jesus will not only save us from our sins, but save us from those who hate us. Now, somebody says, well, then how come that's not happening? It's because it comes through the knowledge of the word. And it comes through your faith. And it comes from you learning the things that God has put in place for you to exercise that authority. Just for example, in the natural, you have all kinds of weaponry. Say you have everything you can imagine in your arsenal, right, at your disposal. Now you're well equipped, right, in a sense of the word there, right, versus someone who's not. But in the same way, spiritually, if we're not knowledgeable of the equipment that's been given to us, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. And having done all to stand therefore. We talked about this before, right, about being able to stand in battle and be the last woman standing, because that's the one who's going to have the victor.
That's the winner.
The victory. Right. That's the winner, right? The one who's dead on the ground is the loser, right? And so we're not talking about a physical battle with human beings. We're talking about a spiritual battle with spiritual forces of darkness, invisible spirits that roam the earth to dominate human beings. And they work through human beings. So if you see the source of the problem being spiritual beings, then you know who you need to deal with. You know, because it says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principality, right? And rulers, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're not fighting a natural war against human beings. You say, but there's wars going on all around the world. There's a war right now in Israel with Hamas. And there's a war in Ukraine with Russia. And there's a war in Sudan. There's wars all going on. What do you mean there's not a war against the flesh? Well, that's the outcome or product of spiritual warfare going on. Demonic powers having dominion. Because Jesus said that Satan was the prince of the, he was the ruler of this prince of this world, ruler of this world. He said in John chapter 14, verse 30, he said the prince of this world, or ruler, as what the Greek word really says, was coming and he has nothing in me.
Amen.
Paul even called him the prince of the power of the air. And other scriptures have called him the god of this world. In 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is. So, if that be the case, then how do we deal with him? How do we take authority over him? You know, so here we go back to the practical means again. How do we apply this in our own life? And I said again, through our words. Because you can't grab a spirit. You can't, like, okay, let's call the police and let's bring the police force over here to arrest the devil. They would laugh at you, right? Because most of them probably don't even believe in that stuff, right? Yeah, but they can't do that. They can't pull up at your house and come in your house and arrest the devil and put him in handcuffs.
No.
No, you have to put him in spiritual handcuffs in the name of Jesus. Okay, so how do we do that? How did Jesus do it? Here's a perfect example. How did Jesus do it? He commanded Satan, demon powers, what they could and could not do. What does it say in Matthew 18? That whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So then how do you bind the devil? You bind the devil by telling him what he can and cannot do. Because it says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? So what is the offensive weapon? It is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the word that's spoken out of your mouth as a weapon against the enemy. Where you say, Satan, I command you to cease and to desist in your maneuvers and your operations in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember, it said there, we read this out, I think it was in the last podcast, where we talked about those seven sons of the Sceva priest trying to cast out the devil from this guy. We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches.
Imagine that.
So if they were speaking the name of Jesus, they were commanding or attempting to command with their words, not with physical restraints, chains and handcuffs or any of that kind of stuff. They were using their words, but they were not in position of authority to be able to do that. One, they weren't even born again, right? They said, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out of the man." Mm-hmm. And the Spirit answered them back and said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" Mm-hmm. Right? So they attempted to do it the right way through the words of their mouth, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them because they weren't born of the Spirit. They weren't authorized. You know, you have to be born again, and you have to be operating by the Holy Spirit in order to have any kind of power of the enemy, because the words themselves ain't going to do anything if it's coming from someone who don't have the Holy Spirit and God don't recognize. It's like I said about an ambassador. You know, what if somebody goes to another foreign country and says, "I'm an ambassador sent by President Donald Trump," you know, who's actually our president right now. So after many years, maybe this podcast is going out, you know, he may have been the president like 30 years back in the past. So I don't know, you know, how long these podcasts are going to go. But the thing is, you know, whoever is president at the time, and they say, "Well, I am an ambassador as the president." But what if the president didn't send them? And they know that. They're not going to give them the time of day. They're not going to give them the attention because they have connections through the proper channels of authority. And so they know who the ambassador to China is, or the ambassador to, you know, Nicaragua or whatever country. They know who this person is, this representative, because they're the proper channel of authority coming from the State Department, coming from the White House of the United States. Mm-hmm. They are the representative. And see, the devil knows whether a person is born again, has the Holy Spirit, has the authority. He knows. And not only that, but that authority isn't something he says, "Well, okay, well, they meet the checklist, the proper authority line, and I'm going to just do what they say." No, the power of God is going to back it up, because Satan is a rebel. And he has to be apprehended by the power of God's Spirit. And he knows who has that power.
That's right.
He knows. So that's how it's going to work. You're going to say to the devil what he can and what he cannot do. Now, see, he's going to suggest to you all day long, maybe, of all the things he's going to try to do to you or to your family or whatever, what you're not going to be able to do. And it, you know, and it's something I read by Smith Wigglesworth. He said recently, he didn't say it recently. He said it many years ago, because he passed on to be with the Lord in 1947. So he's been gone many years, because he lived in the late 1800s and early part of the 20th century, early 1900s. But he said that many men have basically defaulted their, I'm paraphrasing, their authority, because they have allowed Satan to dethrone them in their thought life, because he's spoken things to them that they have accepted and believed. That you don't have authority. You can't do this. I will dominate you. I will break in your house. I will do this. Now, I'm paraphrasing in a sense, because of all the things Satan comes along to try to say to do. "I'm going to put cancer on you, or you're going to die of cancer." I mean, he doesn't just come along and say, "I'm the devil and I'm going to put cancer on you. I'm the devil and I'm going to try to kill your wife. I'm the devil and I'm going." He don't come along and say that generally. He comes through your thoughts and speaks into your mind things, and sometimes, you know, feelings that you get. "I just had a feeling that I was going to get cancer. I just had the thought that, you know, since my Aunt Susie had it, my Uncle Joe had it, my mama had it, my daddy had it, well, then it must run in the family, so I'm going to get it too." Well, who are you listening to? Who's telling you those things? Where's the proof? You know, but the point I'm saying is this, is we have to recognize the enemy, because what good is it to say you have authority over the devil, and you need to exercise it in the name of Jesus, because that's the other part of it. Absolutely. Is in the name of Jesus. It's the name, but you have no clue what the devil's doing to try to bring things to you in your thought life. If you don't recognize him, then you're never going to take authority over him. You know, so how are you going to exercise authority if you don't even recognize him, what he's doing? Well, you know, you're one of those guys, brother, that sees the devil behind every bush. You know, like what Norval Hayes said years ago, you know, he said, no, I see two behind every bush. But the devil's in the world, you know, because people think, well, you know, that's kind of stuff you see, you know, in certain areas of the world. You see over here or over there, but no, that's not everywhere. The devil's not doing all that stuff. Yeah, but the thing is, it's interesting that says, Jesus said when the sower sows the word.
That's true.
That the enemy comes immediately.
Immediately.
To that's steal right. the word. How's he able to do that if he's over there in Sudan or over there in Israel with Hamas? If that's the only place he's at fighting. How's he able to come to your church? And we know there's many churches around the world preaching the gospel every Sunday morning. And Jesus said that he comes immediately. Mm-hmm. That means he's got many agents, many demonic spirits out there to jump on the word as soon as it's being preached. And not only that, but also to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy people's faith so they won't believe. They won't come to the knowledge of the truth. That they will not come to the knowledge of the truth of what it means to surrender to the Lord, to follow him, to be a disciple, and to put on the full armor of God and to be able to exercise authority. Because ultimately, it's getting to the place to be fully conformed to the image of Christ. And in that image of Christ is his divine nature taken over, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, and putting on his character and walking in his power and authority. All those things belong to all of us as Christians, and Satan does not want Christians to know this, because if he can keep them ignorant of all that you can have the divine nature, you can walk a sinless life, you can walk in authority, then he knows he's doomed if they get knowledge of this. So this is why he's constantly telling them they can't do this. You don't have a right to do that. And so on and so on. Because if he can keep them ignorant of their rights, then he can rob them day after day and rob them blind. And that's what he does all the time. And so again, my heart goes out to the nations, because there are many nations that the gospel is illegal. The Bible is illegal. Being a Christian is illegal. And yet, we have the mandate to preach the gospel so they can be saved.
Amen.
Because there's only salvation in one name. As it says in the book of Acts, where Peter said that there is neither salvation in any other name, that at the name of Jesus, right? There are no other name whereby we must be saved. Accept the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so therefore, if we have a heart for the lost in the world, we want the gospel to get to them so they can be saved, then that means we got to help them get the freedom to preach the gospel. Because if the gospel is illegal in North Korea to be preached, then that means many souls are doomed to hell.
Yeah, without the truth.
And yet we're going to sit back and just enjoy our good life here in the United States because, you know, well, you know, that ain't my problem, what's going on over there. But it is, because we are our brother's keeper. We are one church, one body.
Amen.
Baptized into one body. So they are our brothers and sisters over there, and potentially, because the Lord wants them to be saved, and he wants his people to be free. Just as Zacharias prophesied that we may be saved from our enemies and live without fear all the days of our lives.
Amen.
And the way to do that is to stop Satan in his tracks and say, no, you can no longer dominate us. Because we say you cannot. Amen. We speak it out of our mouth. We say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You're not robbing me anymore. You're not stealing from me. You're not stealing my rights and my freedoms any longer. I say no to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You speak to him and you command him. You command the evil spirits and they have to obey. Because when he says submit therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, how do you resist him? You can't grab him, like I said. You can't tie him up physically. You have to speak to them or him in the name of Jesus Christ and command him what he can and cannot do. So when he puts a thought in your mind, well, you know, you just never know. You might die in a car crash tomorrow. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not going to die in a car crash tomorrow. That's for those who are disobedient to God that have opened the door for the enemy to maybe do that to them. But it ain't happening to me because I surrender to God. I serve God. I obey God. Well, brother, what are you saying? That's a bad person? They were a bad person because they were in a car accident and died? They don't necessarily have to be a bad person. They can just be a person who didn't know their rights and their authority. And they allowed Satan to put those thoughts in their mind of what can happen to them. And they confessed it and they agreed with it. And therefore they sided in with the devil and didn't even know it. See, the devil's like the UPS or the FedEx driver coming to your house to get you to sign for a package. And he comes there bringing you cancer and bringing you this or that and saying, this is going to happen to you. And looking at you, say, do you agree with this? Sign right here. You know how many times we look at legal agreements and there's like all these pages and documents and stuff. And we trusting the person who gives it to us, you know, for the most part, is not trying to deceive us because, honestly, most of us don't read all that stuff, right? So what we do is trust them that they're looking out for our best interests, and we sign our name on the line. But see, the devil's going to come along, and he ain't looking out for your best interest. He's looking for some loophole to get you to side in with him and to agree with what he's saying. And yet, people don't realize that's legal. You see, he's illegally in the earth exercising authority, but yet he's able to do it because he finds a way through your lack of knowledge. So when he says to you, you know, you don't have a right to exercise authority over me. I have the right to do what I want to you whenever I want. So when you agree with that, you're believing what he said and you're exercising faith in his word instead of what God's word. Well, because what did God say? Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will. Well, he might flee if the weather is 70 degrees. No, he will flee from you if you meet the conditions of what the word says to do. Mm-hmm. And we have those scriptures I talked about in podcast part number two of this series. You know, that we're to resist the devil, we're to take authority over him, and we're to exercise that authority in Jesus' name. Amen. That was given to us as a divine right. And we need to spread this knowledge. So yes. I'm going to conclude here by saying this. We need to spread this knowledge to as many people as we can so they can learn how to exercise authority, how to put on that armor of God. Amen. So they can stand against the wiles of the devil. And they don't have to be victims because it ain't up to the sovereign will of God whether he wants to save you. His sovereign wills determine how he operates, and that's operating through his word and the instructions in the word. And part of those instructions is submitting to God, resisting the devil, and resisting the way he said to resist him. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to my sweetheart here and let her make her appeal to those who have not received Christ. And I think we'll conclude this series because I do know this also, that many other parts it will teach on, such as the righteousness of God, who we are in Christ, and holiness and all these things, they all interconnect together because they're all a part of what forms the whole person and their ability to be able to walk in authority over the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, sweetheart.
That is why we encourage our listeners to please go back, listen to the prior parts of this podcast. This is so good. This is so good. Listeners, friends, this is not religion. This is not just religious information. This is the truth. This is God's word. This is God's heart for you and for me. This is something that God paid for so that you and I can actually live in an abundant life. So let's continue to learn. Let's continue to share this knowledge, this revelation with other people. And as my husband was saying, we continue to pray that God opens doors so that this actually reaches the nations, the people who live in those places where they are not allowed to own the truth, which is the Bible. But God is greater. God is greater. And this podcast is not sent during this time. It's not here as with Queen Esther for this time, a time such as this. It's not here in vain. We know that God is going to take it to where it needs to go, because God is Almighty, and praise God for that. But we also want to extend the invitation to those people who have not given their heart to God. You have never had that encounter with Jesus. And you know, religion can't save you. Church attendance can't save you. The fact that you were baptized when you were a little baby can't save you. The Bible says that we have to confess Jesus as our Savior. He can take your sins, and He's the only one who can forgive you. So this is an opportunity. Don't leave this for tomorrow. Ask Jesus into your heart. Make Him your Savior. He already paid for your sin, so you might as well just cash in and enjoy Christian life and become a part of the family of God.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. And yes, this is as simple as that. Surrender your life to the Lord. Accept what Jesus paid on the cross for your sins, and receive that as a free gift, because that's Amen. Exactly what it is, a free gift.
Amen.
So we'll conclude this podcast here, and perhaps this series on this note. And we'll say God bless you, and have a good night or a good morning wherever you're at.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.